because it is interesting.
We're going to talk about Pontius Pilate doing his best.
Yeah.
Tried to release Jesus. The best he could, he tried to release Jesus. Because he knew that he was innocent. He declared him innocent 5 times. And when you realize what the laws of the Jews were, they had broken all of their laws. The Sanhedrin had convicted Jesus, didn't they? Do you remember how the Sanhedrin started?
Moses' father
and Jethro, Jeter, Ruel, whatever you want to call him, he had several different names. He told Moses, he said, this is too hard of a task for you. You get out 70 men that can't be bought. They won't take a bribe. That are upright and honest and just. And you appoint them to do all the minor things. And there's where the Sanhedrin started. And this is a Sanhedrin now that can be bought, that commit perjury, that buy people, buy witnesses, and do all of this. And here they are trying the Son of God. Criminals, all of them criminals. Reminds me of our politicians. Especially in California. Well, I'm here in California tonight. This morning I was in Nevada. Now I'm here for a day or two. Now, Jesus is sentenced to death. In spite of all that Pontius Pilate could do. You know, he washed his hands in front of them and said, I'm innocent of this man's blood. And what do they say? Let his blood be upon us and our children. And has that happened?
Yeah.
How many million Jews have died in the Holocaust, Masada, and all over the world because of what happened here? His blood is upon them and their children. Now we have another scoundrel stick up his head. And we're going to read about him. Karade iortain iothe ho hemion apo luain hina to oklo desmion hon ethelon. Now, I'm reading this in Greek, but we're going to tell you what it says. And according to the feast. Now, another thing, the Jews were going to commit murder, perjury, and all of this anarchy against God that they were doing, but yet they were very religious. Religious fools. And they had a feast. And they said, let's do this outside of the feast because we don't want to spoil and contaminate the feast to the Lord. And according to a feast, it was a custom of the governor to release one to the crowd. Now, look at this word, to oklo, there. How many is that, Sharon? Do you remember?
One.
Oklo, or oklos.
One is up to 5,000.
Up to 5,000 people. So there's 5,000 people here. 5,000 people to release one to the crowd. A prisoner. Desmion there, that means one that's bound. Whom they wished, they continued on wishing, it says here, ethelon, that's third person plural and perfect and dignity active. Who did this crowd keep on wishing to release? Now let me tell you a little bit about the one they released. Barabbas. Barabbas was a murderer. He was not a thief. Now, he did steal. He might have been one of the people that left the Good Samaritan, or that left the Jew on the side of the road down to Jericho. Maybe he was one of the people that did that, because they would rob people. They would go into villages, even Jewish villages, and they would take captive the whole village. And they would torture people. They would rape women. And they would kidnap someone and go outside the village and say, we're going to kill him or do something to him. They even kidnapped the high priest at one time. And these are the Sicarii. The Sicarii are what we call the dagger men. The Jewish mafia are descendants of these people, like Bugs Siegel, Benjamin Siegel, and some of the other American bandits, mafia here, are descendants of these people. I had a good friend, Dean, that came here and visited me here, 5 or 6 years ago. He was a direct descendant of the Sicarii, and his family were mafia. Mafia. Now, these people, you heard about the Sicilians. These are the Sicilians. This is where they went. The ones that escaped Masada went to Sicily. And they are not Italians. These are Jews that escaped from this. And this dagger man, this assassin. Now, there were three of Jesus' disciples that were assassins. Three of his disciples were Sicarii. Now, the Sicarii would wear long robes, but they'd have a long dagger, about this long, with a very sharp point on it, with blade, with a cutting edge on both sides. It was a double-edged knife. Very sharp and thin, and it would have a blood line down through it, and they would come up to a Roman soldier, slip up behind him, and stick it into his, right between where his ribs meet there, into his heart, twist it, pull it out, and walk off. This is what they did. This was the greatest. They were trained to do this. And this is for the old Sicilian banquets where they would murder people. This is the origin of all of this. Now, this is one of the granddaddies of it right here. This is the granddaddy of the mafia. And his name is Son of the Father, Barabbas. A notorious criminal. Barabbas. Now there at Masada, they had several great leaders, but this is one of them. I can't remember the one. Judah ben Susa or something like that was one of the great, one of the big leaders. But Barabbas was one of those also. Ekon de tote desmion epoisemon legomenon esun. Barabbon. And they kept on having a prisoner, a bound one. Epi-Semion. Epi comes from a pawn and name. This was a very notorious, famous scoundrel. Famous scoundrel. That's what that word epistemion means. A famous scoundrel. A scoundrel. Being named, and now in the original language, it says Jesus there. Okay? In the later manuscripts, the old manuscripts do not have Jesus. Now, there was a Jesus that was a rebel or an anarchist that came out of the Galilean area. And they had a lot of trouble with him before. And they, somewhere in the transcribing of the script of the Greek Testament later on, they put the name Jesus there, or Jesus, mistakenly. Barabbas. Barabbas is an Aramaic word. It means son of the father. I'm not used to this Bakersfield air. An Arvin air that you can see. Barabbas, son of the father. His father was not God. Let's just put it that way. A son of Satan. Verse number 17 now. Now, Pontius Pilate is doing everything he can do to get these rats to turn Jesus loose. Now, this man had gone into villages. He had raped women. He had murdered men. He had robbed even his own people. And now, Judas, this Judas guy, this terrible Barabbas, Pontius Pilate looks at Jesus and he looks at Barabbas. He said, I'm going to give him a choice. Now, today, it would liken unto this. If the governor or if the judge or whatever you want to call him, he came to Bakersfield and he would say, I will release unto you Billy Graham or Charles Manson. Billy Graham or Charles Manson. Now, in your minds, would you want Charles Manson turned back loose on society? Huh?
No.
How about Jim Jones?
No.
Hitler? Mussolini? You know? Some of these terrible people in the past. Stalin. Lenin. This is what... Now, Pontius Pilate is really trying to get Jesus released. So he said, would you like to have Charles Manson? Or you'd like to have Jesus turn loose on you? And they were so dead set in their criminal minds that they would rather have Charles Manson turn loose on society, Barabbas, than to let Jesus go free. Charles Manson or Billy Graham? Which one do you want? Modern day. A notorious scoundrel being named Barabbas. Verse number 17 now. Sina Gomenon un auton epen oaptois ho pilatos tina telete apoliso himen Jesus ton baraban e esun ton legomenon. Now again we have the word Jesus in some of the later Greek manuscripts. It's not in the old manuscripts. And having assembled, therefore, in front of him, he said to them, Pilate, whom you wish that I may turn loose and pardon to you? Barabbas? Charles Manson? Jim Jones? Or Jesus? The one called... Christone Christ. Now, why do we have the one called Christ in this manuscript? Why do we have that? Why did Pontius Pilate said Jesus the one called Christ? Because there had been a lot of Jesuses. Jesus, that name Jesus was as common as the name Jim today, or Paul, or George. Or whatever. Very common name. Now he says, and of course later on, they confuse this Barabbas with Judas of Galilee, or Jesus of Galilee, that is. You want Barabbas, this notorious criminal, famous scoundrel? Everybody knew the name of Barabbas. It was like the boogeyman. You be good or Barabbas is going to come and get you. You know, like though people, you say the devil's going to get you. You would be good or the devil's going to get you. Well, that's Barabbas. This Charles Manson character. Or the one called Jesus, the Christ. Not the other Jesuses, but this one. Jesus called the Christ. The Christ, the anointed one. Well, now, when he said that to them, guess what they did? They got madder. More enraged. More enraged. And beyond reason, beyond rationality, they chose a murderer. Everybody knew he was going to be executed. The electric chair was tomorrow morning, you know. That's basically today what it would be. And he pardoned Charles Manson instead of the good man, the God man. Let's look at this in verse number 18 now. We have a very unusual verb tense here. Heide gar hote dia fithonu paradokon auton. For he knew. That's in the third person singular, pluperfect indicative active. He knew that with all rational judgment that they would not choose Barabbas. He knew that. Nobody is going to turn Charles Manson out on the populace. This guy, this bad guy. Nobody's going to do this. These guys won't choose Barabbas. They're going to have to choose Jesus in spite of it. They will have to choose him because this is the lesser of the two evils, so to speak, in a society, you know. Sometimes when we're voting for president, we have to choose the lesser of two evils. Sometimes. Mm-hmm. Except when both of them are evil. On both sides, on all sides. For he knew that because of envy, they delivered him. Reverse psychology. You tell a kid, I know you can't do this, so I won't ask you to do it. Dad, well, yeah, I can do it. That's basically what Pontius Pilate, he was trying to use reverse psychology on these rats. He's trying to tell them, you want this demon-filled scoundrel turned loose back on you out there, or do you want Jesus? Which one is the lesser of your two evils, so to speak? He surely would say, Jesus, turn loose Jesus. But that's not what they did. We have people here that definitely can be bought. Pontius Pilate said these people would sell their own mothers for an opportunity and advantage. They would condemn and damn their own fathers to poverty rather than give them what is due them in their old age. Boy. Now let's go to verse number 19. Kathemenu de autu epi tu beimatos apostolen pros auton he gene auto lugusa medein sui kai to dikaio ekaino pala gar Apothon, Simeon, Samaron, that is, Koth, Aner, D, Auton. Girls are doing pretty good here, guys, following along. Verse 19 is a long, long verse. Now we have a bystander. But the bystander is a product of a concubine, a wife that didn't have any rights, pretty much. There were wives and concubines. There were wives and concubines in the Jewish culture. They don't practice that much. There's wives and concubines in the Muslim world all the time. I mean, that's just very common. I saw something in a Reader's, or not a Reader's Digest, but in a National Geographic. And they said, polygamy. And they have this guy, and he's got five wives. He's a Mormon. I guarantee you one thing, you will never see that with a Muslim man with his rag on his head and the four wives standing beside him and his concubines. No way are they going to insult them. They're afraid of them. But Pontius Pilate was married to the daughter of Tiberius Caesar by a concubine. Now the girl meant a lot to him, to Tiberius. She was this his daughter. Who else in biblical times married the daughter of a king?
Abraham
married the daughter of Pharaoh. Hagar was the daughter of Pharaoh by a concubine. And this is a real terrible story too, right here, this Abraham story. He went down in Egypt and he lied to Pharaoh, sold Sarah to him as his wife, and the Lord like killed old Pharaoh and revealed himself to Pharaoh. And Pharaoh says, "What do you mean selling me your wife and saying she's your sister?" "Well, she was my sister, but she's my wife also. She's the daughter of my father, but not my mother." Again, a concubine, a plural marriage situation. Well, Hagar was a political marriage. Pharaoh gave Abraham his daughter, his flesh and blood, to Abraham. So Abraham, he was a little bit intimidated by Abraham. Of course, Sarah was a very beautiful woman, even up in age. And he wanted to be related to Abraham so Abraham would never go to war with him because he would be fighting his own flesh and blood. This is what we call a political marriage. And Abraham, being the scoundrel that he was, really, did not take Hagar for his wife, did he, Sharon? What did he do with Hagar?
He gave it to Sarah as a servant.
He gave it to Sarah as a handmaiden or a servant, as a slave. So he took the daughter of Pharaoh and made her slave. That's a pretty bad insult. But Pharaoh sent him out of there with a lot of presents, because he knew that the God of heaven loved Pharaoh, loved Abraham in spite of him. Kind of like reminds me of me, you know. God loved me in spite of me. Well, he gave her to Sarah to be a slave. And then she gave her back to Abraham as his wife. Abraham had three wives, didn't he? Sarah, Hagar, and Keturah. Hagar was a Hamite, Sarah was a Shemite, and Keturah was a Japhethite. And Shemite also. Alexander the Great, they say, is a descendant of Keturah and Abraham. Now let's get back to the story here. We have another story of a very important woman married to a very important man. And God takes out this woman to reveal something to her. Sometimes women in the Bible are the good guys, or the good women, and the husbands are the bad guys. Isn't that right? Mm-hmm. Now, in culture, in the church, we'll see a lot of women that are married that their husbands don't go to church with them. That used to be very common 50 and 75 years ago. Now, the men go with the women sometimes. Or families go together at churches. But the women sometimes have to carry the torch. Sometimes. In the Bible, who were some of them that did this? Who were some of the women that carried the torch?
Well, Abigail.
Abigail. Okay. Who else? How about Rebecca? Oh, there's one that really did. Rebecca had to carry the torch because Isaac was going to bless the wrong man. And he intentionally was going to bless God's one that he had rejected and the one that God chose, Jacob. And he knew that Esau was a scoundrel. And he was going to bless him anyway and give him the preeminence. But God did not allow that, did he? He used Rebekah to deceive Isaac. And he blinded Isaac so he couldn't see to bless the wrong man. So we see this. In the New Testament, we see some of the same things. Sometimes we see Mary and Martha. We see Mary Magdalene. Great, courageous characters in the Bible. Who stood by Jesus until the absolute last?
The Marys
and Martha. They stood by Jesus, never did. They were at the tomb. They were there. They were at the cross. They were there. Peter slunk out there and hid, along with many of the others. Now let's go on a little further. Now setting him upon the tribunal, the judgment seat, he sent with authority to him the wife of him, saying, "Nothing to you, this just one. Many things I have suffered this very day according to a dream because of him." Now let's go back and read these verses in the Amplified Bible for a moment. 15 through 19. Now in the feast of the Passover, the governor was in the habit of setting free for the people any one prisoner whom they kept on choosing. Now we know that before this time the people did not want Barabbas, did they? And at the time, they had a notorious prisoner whose name was Barabbas. So when they had assembled for this purpose, Pilate said to them, "Whom do you want me to set free for you? Charles Manson or Jesus? The scoundrel or Jesus, who is called the Christ?" Specified which Jesus it was, by the way. For he knew that it was because of envy that they had handed him over to him. And also, while he was seated on the judgment bench, his wife sent to him a message. Now, this message was with authority. That's where apostle comes from, that word. She sent a very important, pertinent message to Pontius Pilate, saying, "Have nothing to do with that just and upright man, for I have had a painful experience because of him in a dream. I know that he's just and I know he's upright. And don't do anything wrong to this man." Next verse. "These people are so wicked and so disjointed in reason that even though Pilate gave them a choice, it was very easy to make. Don't turn Charles Manson back on us. Don't turn this Jim Jones on us. They would not choose him to turn loose, but they did. They were so wicked in their desire. Hoi de archeras kai ho perduteroi epeson tus oclus hina Aite sontai, ton baraban, ton de esun apolesin. But the chief priest and the elders." Now these are the ones that are the heads of the Sanhedrin court. These are like the judges, the superior court judges. "They persuaded." Now, Barabbas was a very famous criminal, wasn't he? We know that. "But they persuaded the people beyond reason." They persuaded the crowds. Now, this tus okloys. How many is this, Marilyn? Tus okloys. Okloys.
10,000.
10,000 plus. There are 10,000 people here now. The more commotion, the more screaming and hollering, the more big gathering they have now. People are up and out of their beds at nighttime instead of laying there in their beds at night. They're out. Cause them trouble. When do you have to watch your house most of the time from burglars?
Nighttime.
At nighttime. Burglars like the cover of night. Now, the criminals went out and drug people out of bed to get them out there to scream. They told them, no matter what, don't let Jesus be turned loose. Give us Barabbas. They said, what? You say? Barabbas? But what did they do? They persuaded the crowds. They persuaded 10,000 people to cheer and jeer the name of Barabbas in order they might ask for Barabbas. But Jesus, that they might murder. They're going to murder him. They're going to murder Jesus. This is what they wanted to do. They wanted to destroy him. It means to just literally tear apart. Give us Barabbas. That word there is apolison. That means to from loose. Drawn and quartered. Was a terrible, terrible punishment, wasn't it? What is Barone and Quarter? You know what that is, Brother Phil? Okay, just imagine a person. They're stretched out. They've got their arm here and arm there, and another leg here and another leg there, and they tie four horses or camels to them, and they just rip them apart. That's what this word means. Except they're going to do it on the cross of Calvary. One of Muhammad's best, what we call captains or lieutenants or whatever you want to call him, went into a village and captured a village. And there was a woman there that was jeering the name of Muhammad. And they took her out there and tied her arms and legs to four camels and whipped the camels and they pulled her apart. This is the term. To murder, to destroy, to pull apart. Verse number 21. Apokrites de ho hem hegemon epein autois tina telete apo ton dio apoluso hemen hoi de epon ton barabon. And having answered the governor, he said to them, which do you wish? Which do you keep on wishing from the two? Now, he didn't give them another choice, did he? Only these two. You can't have anybody else. You either got to have the criminal, the arch criminal, Charles Manson, Hannibal Lecter type character, you know, Jeffrey Dahmer type character. This lecherous scoundrel. Who may of the two? No other choices. And he thought it was real easy. They'll never choose Barabbas. Then I may release to you all. But the ones, they said, Barabbas. Verse number 22. Lege autois ho pilatos di un peoso esun ton legomenon Christon legusen ponte starotheto. And he says to them, Pilate, what therefore may I do? What shall I do to Jesus, the one being called Christ? And now they scream. And the word here is starotheto. And they said, all of them at the same time screaming, and Pontius Pilate in his letter identified and described this howling screams, he said, like from the infernal regions. Let him be crucified. verse number 23. Hode efe ti gar kakon epoesen hoede perisios ekrazon legontes staro theto. But the one, he said, this is Pontius Pilate, but this one, for what bad deed, again now he tried to give them a choice that they couldn't, an offer they couldn't refuse, so to speak. Surely they won't choose Barabbas. And now he says to them, even more, what bad deed they cried out saying, let him be crucified. For what bad deed did Jesus do? He didn't do anything wrong. Barabbas was guilty of murder and thievery and extortion, kidnapping. You know, kidnapping is what we call a capital crime. Murder is a capital crime. And they're going to have to turn him loose back on to them. Well, guess what happened? What happened when they turned this man leg loose? Because of what they did here, the whole city of Jerusalem would be destroyed. Verse number 24. Idon de ho palatos hote uthen ophile ala malan thoribos genete labon hidor apa nipsoto tas kairas apa apetan apenante tu oclu legon a fos eme apo tu hematos tuto himes opeste. Now he's going to appeal to their moral structure, if they have any. The moral structure of these people. He's going to appeal to that. It's not going to work either. And this great crowd, now these 5,000 people or more, people saying, innocent, he says to them, I am from the blood of this one. And you see to it. You see to it for yourselves. Kai apokrithos pas. Ho laos epento haima auto ef himas kai epi ta tekna himon. This is it, boy. This is what's caused the death of millions. How many million Jews died over there in Dachau and the different prison camps in Germany? What, 6 million? How many died at Masada? How many died at Jerusalem? This was their decision. And having been called to answer, all of the people said, the blood of him upon us and upon the children of us. Look at that word techno there. Remember what that word techno means, Sharon?
Live birth.
A live birth. Our legitimate children, let this be upon our children. Let this crime be upon them. Verse number 26. Tote apelusin, atois ton barabon, ton de esun frage losas, paradoken hina sta rothe. Then he released to them Barabbas, but the Jesus. One more time he tries to appeal to their their human nature. When Christina, do you ever go by a wreck where you see somebody mangled? And your feelings just go out to them? Mm-hmm. Your brother Phil?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. You ever go see this? I can't hardly stand to see people hurt like that. It's very mm-hmm. difficult. Very difficult. Anyway, he tries to appeal to their human nature of compassion, but they don't have any. They don't have that either. Then he released to them Barabbas, but Jesus. He has him beat to the point of almost death. And said, well, now maybe if they see him suffer bleeding to the point of death, maybe they'll say, well, don't crucify him. Let him go. That's enough. And he delivered in order that he might be crucified. They were all out of order, weren't they? The priests were all out of order. Everybody was out of order. They were breaking all of their own laws. And Pontius Pilate keeps telling them, you're breaking your own rules. Why are you doing this? You're breaking your own rules. Let's go back and read the rest of this in the Amplified now. Verse number 20, but the chief priests and the elders prevailed on the people to ask for Barabbas and put Jesus to death. Again the governor said to them, which of the two do you wish me to release for you? And they said, Barabbas. He is astounded at these answers. How could they turn this criminal loose on themselves again? He's been arrested because he is a murderer. And a scoundrel. And Pilate said to them, then what shall I do with Jesus who is called Christ? And they all replied, let him be crucified. And he said, why? What has he done that is evil? But they shouted all the louder, let him be crucified. So when Pontius Pilate saw that he was getting nowhere, but rather that a riot was about to break out, he took water and washed his hands in the presence of all the crowd, saying, I am not guilty nor responsible for the righteous man's blood. See to it yourselves. And he's quoting Deuteronomy 21:6-9 and Psalm 26:6. You are out of order. You are out of reason. You are breaking your own rules. And all the people continued to answer, his blood be upon us and our children. So he set free for them Barabbas, and had Jesus whipped and delivered him up to be crucified. One last time he said, in Latin, ecce homo, behold the man. You've been to that place, haven't you, sure? Behold the man. Right there he said, behold the man, have mercy on him. Let me turn him loose. It's enough. And they said, let him be crucified. Let him be crucified. That is the depths of depravity and evil. The depths of depravity and evil. Do you have a question in any of this? Any observation?
His wife had a dream.
Pilate's wife had a dream. And in that dream, she saw Jesus, the righteous one, being abused and maltreated. And she said, don't have anything to do with this righteous man. Do you have any, Christine, you have any questions?
Well, his wife says not to have anything to do with him, but he still does, right?
He has to.
Yeah. Okay.
Why does Pontius Pilate put up with this trash? Political trash.
I think he was
afraid himself.
For one thing, if you read the concourse that was going on back at that time, the Jews had accused Pontius Pilate of being in league with Jesus and against Caesar. They accused him. So had Herod accused Pontius Pilate of being in league with Jesus because he allowed him to preach. For 3.5 years, he allowed him freely to preach. And he had, if you read Pontius Pilate's letter to Tiberius Caesar, which is a very, and people say, oh, well, that's not the Bible. No, it's not the Bible. But it is a historical record, and it is validated by many other sources that quote Pontius Pilate's letter. By the enemies and by the people that were for Jesus. They accused him of being in league with Jesus. Now he has got an uprising, and he can't put it down. He does not have enough men to stop this anarchy and this civil war in his midst. Finally, the 10th Roman Legion is called in, and they kill them all, or take them off captives and spread them throughout the world for what they have done. Let his blood be upon us and our children.
Was he also afraid politically?
Yes, that's what I was just talking about. He was afraid because they are going to cause a civil war, an uprising, and he doesn't have enough soldiers to stop it. He doesn't have enough men.
But if he had stopped it, we wouldn't have salvation.
We will not have salvation either,
so,
would we?
I mean, it was something that was put in.
It was a necessary evil.
Before the foundation of the world, this was the plan, and he was kind of. I mean, he saw how long it was. He wanted to stop it. But there was really no way he could have.
No.
Because of the.
He was not. Jesus, even Jesus, what we call, released him from all evil with this. Go to Psalm 22, real quick. I have the wrong Bible. I have my other one all marked out for this. Eli, Eli, lama sabachthani. Now that's Hebrew. Eloi, Eloi, lama sabachthani. That's Aramaic. And this is quoted, Jesus quotes this from Psalm 22 and verse 1. My God, why hast thou forsaken me? Far from my deliverance are the words of my groaning. O my God, I cry by day, and you do not answer, and by night, but I have no rest. Did Jesus have any rest there in the Garden of Gethsemane? You've been there, Sharon.
No.
You are holy. You are enthroned upon the praise of Israel. And he tells them that he has always delivered his nation, which he had. But you won't deliver me. He goes on down here to verse number 16. For dogs have surrounded me. Boy, weren't they dogs. The Jews had become Gentile dogs. A band of evildoers has encompassed me, and they pierced my hands and my feet. I count all my bones, and they look and they stare at me, and they divide my garments among them. Did all this happen at the cross of Calvary? And for my clothing they cast lots. All of this is prophecy. Deliver my soul from the sword. His soul. My only life from the power of the dogs. Save me from the lion's mouth and from the horns of the wild oxen. He said, in the midst of the assembly, I will praise thee. And he did that there when he instituted the Lord's Supper, didn't he? What a story. The guilty are in charge of the whole and empowered. That sounds like an American political situation, doesn't it?
Mm-hmm.
The guilty, the scoundrels are in charge of the house. Like putting the nuts in charge of the nut house. You just don't do that, do you? Any other questions?
Well, some of the disciples were afraid too.
They were afraid. The bravest disciples were the women.
Peter was afraid.
Peter was scared. John ran. Talks about all of them running, hiding out. They were afraid. But the women went there.
And he didn't listen to his wife.
What?
Pilate didn't listen to his wife.
Oh, he listened to her. But there wasn't anything he could do. He had no choice. He said, I am innocent of this man's blood. And they said, let his blood be upon us and our children. And it has been to this very day. I remember when they were doing a this was probably 40 years ago or 30 years ago. They were doing a thing on television from an archaeological, biblical background, and the whole title was Never Another Masada. What a joke. Yes. There was another Masada in Germany. There was another Masada in Russia. There's another Masada all over Europe. The place in Europe that the Jews found more freedom than anything else was in France. And the Jewish mothers would train their daughters to be prostitutes, courtesans, in many of those countries. And they would go and marry, or not marry, but cohort with some prince somewhere. Remember the Jewish actress that became so famous in America and all over the world? What was her name? You remember that?
Sarah Bernhardt.
Sarah Bernhardt was a Jewish prostitute. Her mother had trained her and two of her sisters to be Jewish prostitutes. Sarah Bernhardt had a child with a prince. And they would go in these areas and they would seek to get in power, political marriages, so to speak, except this was political whoredom, so to speak, prostitution. And they would become entangled with these princes so they would not go against the Jewish people in that area. Because this is his lover's family, so to speak. We see this. They've had it. This scorn from God that they placed upon their own heads for 2,000 years and still going. And it will happen until the middle of the tribulation period. There have been a lot of Masadas, and there shall be one great more Masada, when two out of every three Jews will be crucified or sacrificed, so to speak, upon these people's words right here. Anything else before I turn you loose on the world? Go out and do something eternal.
Yes. So if Pilate said he washed his hands, but then he has him flogged.
He what?
Pilate said he was washing his hands of Jesus.
Yes.
But then he says that he had Jesus flogged.
He had him flogged to do one last little... Remember what I told you? That they will see him bleeding and dying nearly, and they will have mercy finally, and they say, well, that's enough. That's why he had him flogged. And two reasons for this. Double reason. Two reasons why he had him flogged. One, to get their compassion, their human compassion, if he could touch it. And what's the other?
Political.
No.
So that they would see that he wasn't a part of him, that he was
He was punished, and he hoped that that would be enough. But there was one other reason. So Jesus wouldn't have to suffer as long on the cross. Because he was flogged, he didn't last very long on that cross.
He
was nearly dead before he got to the cross.
He couldn't carry the cross.
He couldn't carry the cross. Pontius Pilate did everything he could do for that man, our Savior. He said, Charles Manson or Jesus or Billy Graham? Which one do you... I mean, that's a real easy choice. You can't choose the bad guy. You won't choose the bad guy, but they did choose the bad guy, didn't they? They chose the bad guy. They kept on choosing the bad guy.
But this is like one time where God allowed evil to reign in order for him to have his plan of salvation.
That's right. He has done that many times. God, in his permissive will, allows some evil to happen in the world. Look at the nations that have arisen and fallen. Some start out on real good foundations and then they slip and slide and and just go to pieces and become corrupt, which we have seen in our own nation. And we continue to see it in spite of it all. Let's have a word of prayer. Sharon, would you dismiss us in prayer, please?
Father, I just thank you for this privilege to study your word and to dig in deeper and help us get more understanding as we ponder what we heard tonight. And Lord, you know, think about all the circumstances of your death and your sacrifice for us, because this all happened because you loved us so you could save us from our sins and our degradation and you pull us out of the slime. And Father, it's when we study passages like this, it just, parts of it are just unfathomable. The depths of your love and the depths of your willingness just to go down to go through the sewer to rescue us. And Lord, we're grateful. We're so grateful for your love. I just thank you from the depths of my heart. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.